In the new children's book, Marianne the Maker, Kelly Corrigan and her daughter, Claire Corrigan Lichty, make the case for making, which just may be the antidote to the current epidemic of depression and anxiety that are facing so many children today. At a time when arts education programs are being cut at a more vicious pace than ever before, studies show that using our hands to create has incredible benefits: reduction in anxiety, improvement in memory, and certainly for children. Making is vital to their development. Tinkering and hands-on play and developing new ways of thinking instills confidence and resourcefulness and helps make connections. All of that goes into the book Marianne the Maker, written by Kelly Corrigan and her daughter Claire Corrigan Lichty, and it's a great pleasure to welcome both Kelly and Claire to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Delighted to be here. Thank you for having us.
So, Kelly, let me begin with you. What brought this this project to the fore?
Well, a little bit worrying about the mental health of children and adults, and reading a book called Your Brain on Art, which outlines all the research and data that's been done that proves that creative work triggers serotonin and dopamine releases and reduces cortisol, which was just putting facts to my lifetime intuition that I am calmer and better when I'm monotasking on something creative. And then watching Claire, my daughter, who is also an extremely inventive person, watching her dig through the recycling as a kid and put together these kind of dioramas and thinking, this is an incredible period of focus and engagement and flow for her. And so maybe we need to be beating the drum for the maker mindset. And so Claire and I have been longtime, decade-long creative conversation, and we got talking about this children's book that I had handed in that they didn't really like. And Claire thought she could do one better, and she did.
So, Claire, your perspective on that, of what it was like to put this together and what you wanted the message to be.
Yeah, so I just graduated from University of Virginia. My first 2 years at college, I spent 10 to 15 hours a week babysitting this kid. And obviously, reading is one of the big activities when you're with somebody that young. He was 2 years old when I started with him. And so I was reading all these kids' books, and I was like a little disappointed with the menu, and also found that like the things that really drew me to books were it being written in rhymes. Like, I love Dr. Seuss, but also the idea of like having a main character who has a problem, solves their problem, makes mistakes, knows how to apologize. All the things that I really like valued in my parents and value in my friends. And so creating a character who embodies all of that. And then, like my mom said, we're both very creative people. Do not let us near your paint set, or else your walls or car might be painted. But
I did paint a car door once without really talking to anybody about it. I thought I could put on like a stripe on a car, but that's not how that works.
Yeah. No, just a little more planning, right? Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a special kind of paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My I showed it to one of my friends, and he goes, "Your father must be a very patient man."
So, talk a little bit about that message of making. You touched on this, Kelly, but I'm curious as to when you came to it, and as a message that could be conveyed, not only to in this book, but just in general.
Mm-hmm. So the book starts with the lines, "He signed her up, as all dads do. I loved this sport, and so will you," which I think is a very innocent mistake that parents make.
And in the book, he has signed her up for soccer practice. Yeah.
Thank you. And this is why I need Claire. So one of the many, many reasons. So the very innocent mistake is that he's sort of starting from his own childhood and laying that on his kid rather than kind of reading the room. And this is a kid who needs to invent. It is Marianne's nature. It is the place where she is most at home. It's her identity. And so she tells a lie. And she says she doesn't feel good. And she uses a trick that she saw in her favorite movie, which is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And she's a kid who loves the 80s so much that she named her dog Patrick Swayze. So Marianne tells a lie and she spends the day working on this flying machine, which she's called a Moodle Boot. And she has to tell the truth to her dad, apologize, and then welcome him into her world. And when he sees it. He gets her. And that's the kind of thing that we hope to put in front of parents as they have a kid on their lap and they're reading this delightful book, and the illustrations are phenomenal, and the rhyme scheme is terrific. But really, what I hope that they are reinforcing within themselves is, what is my kid really all about? What do they run to, and what do they tell lies about? Because you'll find that if you have to drag your kid over and over again to soccer practice, and they always are losing their jersey or forgetting a shoe, they're not that into it. And then the question is, what are they into?
Right.
And is there a way that you could create space for that? And the fact is that per Your Brain on Art, which is our kind of Bible underneath this thing, which is written by Susan Magsman, who's a neuroscientist at Johns Hopkins, and Ivy Ross, who's a design lead at Google, our belief is that all people, that we were once all hyper creative. We made our clothes and we made every ounce of food we put in our mouths. And together with our neighbors, we built our houses. And we did everything by hand initially, obviously. And then we got further and further away from it. And I think maybe at our own peril. So this kid, this Marianne, we hope will become a great feature in children's literature. We hope it's the first in a long series of things that Marianne does. Marianne makes a mistake. Marianne makes a mess. And we hope that we can keep reminding people that we need this as children and adults. We need unstructured time to explore making. And it could be robotics, it could be making a go-kart, it could be opening the back of an old computer and taking it apart. It could be coding. Claire's a computer science major. It could be writing skits. Claire's also a drama major. So, there's just to also, we wanted people to widen their definition of what is creative making. What does that include?
So, Claire, talk a little bit about your tech arts background and how you wanted to see it integrated into this story.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's like with drama or computer science, it's really just learning a new medium. And so I think a lot of the times we think of tech jobs as like they use the word innovative instead of creative, but they go hand in hand that innovation requires creativity and creativity spurs innovation. And so I feel like there's been this kind of separation between like arts and creativity that's like allowed, where it's like, oh, it must have like economic value and creativity that we're seeing supported less and less in schools. So like my drama department at growing up was excellent and I was really lucky for that. But I know that like drama departments are going underfunded at the University of Virginia, our drama department, I just had graduation. I had 9 people graduating from the drama department and 600 people graduating from the computer science department. And I think that that really shows like we've placed these values on certain types of creativity and innovation, and we've like cut arts programs and cut shop class programs.
Right.
And I was just reading this book, Shop Class as Soul Craft, by Matthew Crawford, where it said when you're looking at the jobs that are unable to be done by computers or AI or be outsourced, those jobs are the ones where you do have to be in person and you do have to use your hands. And like so much of what I've, it's funny, so much of what I've learned in my drama major, which is something that we think of as being like, oh, that's like a major you'll get, but like enjoy working at McDonald's. But so many of the skills I learned there are like those jobs are much more secure, and so much of software engineering will be able to be done by AI in a few years. And so I think it's really interesting that like making is universal across so many types of jobs, and it's such a bummer that it's been devalued in like, not to put too much on it, but like these like more feminine roles. And so with Marianne, one of the things we love is she does combine art and technology. She is not just painting. She's like creating things that look cool and are useful. And I think it's really important for kids to be hands-on in a number of ways. And I'm really grateful that I was given the support both from my parents and my education to be able to grow both sides of my brain like that. But I think that for young people especially, it's really good to be able to access creativity. There's my little TED Talk for
That's good. Very good TED
you.
Talk indeed. Take it on the road.
Yeah.
Kelly, when you look at your work in totality, I was amused by the fact that the Huffington Post referred to you as the poet laureate of the ordinary. I assume that you took that as a compliment.
I really did. I mean, I love a small moment. I've written four memoirs about family life. Like, my first one, my dad and I had cancer at the same time. So I wrote the story of what that year was. And it was called The Middle Place, and it did well. And so then I got the chance to write some more. And in those books, all I'm doing is looking deeply at a single ordinary moment from a very mundane life. But in so doing, I would say that I am developing my noticing skills. And I think noticing skills are very related to what we're talking about here, because all the research says that if you are looking for that serotonin dopamine hit, if you're looking for the natural non-toxic version of that, then you can either make something or you can behold something. And beholding is an art. Beholding is calling upon you to survey your senses and to enjoy each input as it's coming. So, the smell of the air after it rains, the sound of leaves shaking in the wind, the sound of a bird, the color scheme that's playing out in front of you, even as the sky is changing and things are getting darker and lighter based on clouds. Like, being able to notice at a fine level is the gift that keeps on giving. It's what painters do, it's what writers do, it's what coders do, it's what playwrights do, it's what go-kart makers do. And what Claire and I have been appreciating together is that parents who say wow have kids who say wow. If you raise your kids always pointing out, oh, look at that. And then all of a sudden you get kids who are saying, hey, look at that. So remember when Claire was taking some class and she'd say, Mom, those are Doric columns. And I was like, that's so great. That's so great. She's like, look at the shadow that the Doric columns are laying down on the road. Like, that's good noticing. So I think that the message is notice, model noticing, and notice when your kids are noticing and celebrate it, because that is accessing all that good juice for your moods. But it's also like a way of life. It's very meditative and it offers those same physiological benefits.
The name of the book is Marianne the Maker, written by Kelly Corrigan and Claire Corrigan Lichty. It is out from Flamingo Books, a picture book about a determined young inventor with an essential message: creating unlocks our inner powers. It's a beautiful book. Kelly and Claire, I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Best of luck with the book, and thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Be well. Again, the name of the book, Marianne the Maker. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.